It's really fun getting to do two services back to back, because everything that I thought of in the first service was like, oh, I should have mentioned that. Oh, I should have said something about that. Don't make that joke. Mental note. You know, all those things I get to process and then try again. So that's really exciting. But more exciting is that I get to, I'm buzzing a little bit. More exciting is that I get to continue talking about what I love so much. So that's the best. So I'm Gabby, full name Gabrielle. You can call me that. That's okay. So today I'm here just to share a little bit with you about who I am, which is less important or less fun, more to what I'm going to be doing and where God is leading me and what He is doing in South Africa. So first I'm going to start with just a little bit of information about who I am, and this is going to be like me in a nutshell that was like trampled, so me in like part of a nutshell. So I am the youngest of four kids. I have two brothers and a sister. I'm the very, very proud auntie of three nephews and another baby on the way, gender to be determined at that time. So I get to do all the fun stuff, all the fun aunt stuff, which I really like. My sister, she wishes I would do all the other stuff too. Who else am I? I grew up in this area. I'm from Franklin County, I'll say. I've moved several times. I was born in Waynesboro, then moved to Mercersburg, then to Marion, and now I'm living in Greencastle, so I'm just covering all my bases. I want everywhere. So I'm from this area. I grew up, I was homeschooled, grade kindergarten through 12, and then I went to Cedarville University in Southwest Ohio for my undergrad. I have my degree in music education, certified to teach kindergarten through 7th grade. No, that's wrong. Kindergarten through 12th grade. I'm going to a kindergarten through 7th school, so that's what I was thinking. Oh, man. Sometimes I'm spazzy. Today is one of those times. As we enter into our time today, one thing I forgot to say to the first service that I'll say to you, my mom named me Gabrielle, not with the intention of me becoming an adjective, Gabby, but that's what happened. And so I tend to talk a lot, and I tend to talk quickly. So if at any point I'm pop up a hand and say, would you mind slowing down? I'm not going to be offended by that. People have done that to me before. I took public speaking in college, and I had to have that, you know, marked on my paper a couple of times. But as I get into it, I get more excited, and therefore I might just start slurring into things or just saying something that you've missed. Just put up a hand and say, I didn't catch that, one more time. And I will not be offended by that at all. Okay, so that's who I am. If you go to the next one. Oh yeah, there's me. Okay, so I'm claiming Chambersburg, which is actually the one town that I haven't lived in, but that's where I work. I work in Chambersburg, I should have mentioned this. I am a music teacher at the Cumberland Valley School of Music. I teach violin and voice lessons. I currently have about 26 students that I see on a weekly basis, and I love doing that. I also work for an engineering company, which is hilarious, because the first people who were here in the first service didn't hear this. I'm terrible at math, and I don't like math at all. And somehow I got hired to be at an engineering firm, but I do nothing mathematical, so that's good. I'm from Franklin County, we'll say, and heading to a little tiny town called Hammanskraal, South Africa, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's there and why I'm so excited about it and what the Lord is doing in that small town. All right, so if we go to the next one, thank you. Also, you guys are just the greatest. Thanks for keeping up with me. Okay, so just a quick background of how I got to South Africa, because, you know, it's not just every day that, like, you just wake up and say, all right, let's go. So I grew up in the BIC church. Like JB said, I am a member at Fairview Avenue, and being a part of the Brethren in Christ, like he said, means that you are surrounded by missions and the idea of global and local missions. And so this has always been something that God has put on my heart. This has always been something that I've grown up with. My uncle and my aunt are missionaries in Malawi with BICWM. And so I've just grown up kind of surrounded by that. Before that, they were in Guatemala. So We've just got really close vibes to the missional community, but then also having grown up in the BIC, you just kind of get it a lot, which is phenomenal. So when I went to college, having had this outlook, and that year in 2008, I had just gotten back from a trip to London where we were doing outreach with Muslims, and the year before that, I had gotten back from it was more of a school trip to Malawi. So, you know, already I'm starting to get this broader picture of the world. So when I got to college, and we had our missions weekend in October, and there was an opportunity to sign up for a trip of some kind over your spring or summer break, I thought, oh, this is a good next step. You know, I want to get involved. I don't want to just bum around all summer. Let's do something. So I signed up for one of the few trips that was open to anybody of any major. Usually you had to be an engineering or, not usually, there were several trips that were engineering or nursing specific. And as I've already said, I'm terrible at math, so I'm not an engineer. And so I just kind of like signed my name on the first paper that I came to that wasn't specifically for a major. I didn't even look at where it was going. I didn't look at what kind of ministry it was. It just blindly signed. I was going to make a joke, never mind. I was going to say, little did I know I was signing my life away. Anyway, I'm sorry, second service, I'm a lot jokier. I'm more relaxed. Anyway, so I waited a couple of months and waited. And friends of mine who had signed up for other trips were like, yeah, we're on a team. We're leaving at this date. Yeah, we're almost done fundraising. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard anything. First thought was, oh, gosh, what's wrong with me? Second thought was, what's wrong with this team? And so heard nothing until much later when we got an email that said, thank you for showing interest. Unfortunately, the team has been, or this trip has been canceled due to lack of leadership. I was like, ooh, it wasn't me. Okay, but that was a bummer, but okay, you just keep rolling on. I was in the middle of a semester, so you just had to roll on. And so then the next year, in my sophomore year, same kind of thing happened. October rolled around. We had our missions weekend. I again blindly signed something. Waited and waited, and November passed, December passed, we went home, came back, January almost passed. We got to like January 29th or something like that. And I got an email that just said, hi, is it at all possible that you're still interested in this, in going to South Africa? And I was like, who did I tell I was interested in going to South Africa? And I was like, oh, yes, oh. And so I said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. So a team assembled. I don't have a picture of my team. That's okay. They're great. So our team assembled. There were 9 of us total, 7 students, including myself, and then our 2 leaders. And we had our first meeting, and our leaders said, okay, here's the deal. It's the end of January. We're basically into February, and we have to have all of our funding by the beginning of March, and then we're leaving the beginning of May. And this is in addition to all of our school. We still had all of our work to do, obviously. And so they're like, what are you feeling? Can we do this? And we're like, yes, we can. And so, through a lot of incredible donations from our churches and people that we knew and a huge amount of prayer support, we ended up leaving at the beginning of May. We flew to South Africa, lost all 18 of our bags once we got there, which was interesting because some of us forgot to pack the necessities in our little carry-ons, me. So we got there and we eventually got our bags back, don't worry. Anyway, we got there, and it was the beginning. It was the double doors opening. I'm looking at double doors, so that works. Okay, it was the double doors opening to this incredible new place. Not location-wise, but in seeing what the Lord was doing in a new place out of context of our culture and just seeing a vision for South Africa and for what was going to happen there. So that was my first trip. It was 2 weeks long, which if you've ever done something that you immediately feel this passion for or this desire to know more of, you'll find that 2 weeks is not long enough. If someone really wants to learn ballet, I just started ballet lessons, 2 weeks gives you nothing. Okay, so you get the very, very top layer of excitement and cool, but you don't get any depth really. Not that you don't. You can't continue to invest, I guess is what I'm looking for. And so we got home, and I just had this burden on my heart, and I thought, okay, let me just see what other kind of trips this place, or what other kind of opportunities I could have at this place. So I got online, and I said, oh, they have internships for anybody, and it can be anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years. You choose the amount of time you go, and you just do whatever they need you to do. It's like, okay. So I went through the process, and I returned back to South Africa to this ministry called Bethesda, which I'll talk about in depth in just a minute. I returned there in the summer of 2011 for about 3 months. And at this point, I just didn't really have any expectations. But again, I got there and just had this overwhelming sense of needing to be there. And it was also a really strange feeling of being home. You know when you go somewhere and then you come back and I'm home. It's just that immediate sense of belonging where you're supposed to be. It was that, which was really bizarre because everyone's like, how are you doing? How's culture shock? And I was like, it's okay. You know, it's just kind of normal. It was just this immediate sense of belonging and immediate desire to know more. Where am I? Why? What is happening here? And so over the next 3 months while I was there in 2011, the Lord just continued to burden me with this desire to know where I was and this burden for this ministry that I was working with. I often tell this story. The first night that I got there, got to the airport, first of all, bad planning. I forgot to ask who was picking me up. Okay, so didn't know who I was looking for because I wasn't sure which person was coming to get me. I didn't even have a phone number. Oh, don't travel internationally without the details. I just kind of stood there looking lost for like a half hour and just like stood in the middle of the walkway until finally the director's wife came and she said, Gabby. I said, oh, there you are. Okay, cool. So we go, and as we're driving back to the ministry, she says, so some things have changed as far as the scheduling. You know, we usually like to give you a day to kind of settle in, but we have a marriage retreat this weekend for all of the parents who watch these kids, which will make sense when I tell you more about Bethesda. Anyway, so we're going to put you in charge of a house. It's the easy house. They're all older, and there's about 7 kids. You just need to make sure that, they're fed and that they go to bed on time, that they do their homework. Like that. Okay, easy. I was a great babysitter in high school. So I got there, and it would have been easy had I not just traveled for 2 days and was incredibly jet-lagged. And so, I'm like sitting on the couch with the kids, one eye kind of propped open. I'm just going, okay, this is possible. All right, finished the day, went to bed. I was like, oh, okay. Woke up and found out that I had to then do it again for the next 14 hours. And I was so tired. And I remember at the end of the night, I know you're wondering where this is going. I remember at the end of the night, I was in my bed, and I was exhausted. I was just crying. I was like, Lord, I've made a mistake. Oh, man, I was so sure that I had made this, huge mistake in coming. And then the next 3 months happened. And, immediately, the next day, we went to church, and the sermon of that day, I guess, was something that was very specific to something I was going through in my personal life. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then I had some rest time. It's amazing when you have time to rest how you feel. Much happier. Anyway, and then over the next few months, building relationships with the kids that I was working with, building relationships with the people who work at Bethesda, the Lord, again, like I said, just began to grow this passion and grow this love of being where I was. So that was that second trip. The third one that you see there, because I was an education major, I had to complete a student internship. And from my freshman year, I knew I wanted to do this internship somewhere internationally. And so I asked the directors of the education department, I said, can I do this at Bethesda? I've already been there 2 summers in a row. This just makes sense to me. And they said, no, you can't. And I said, okay. There's reasons behind that, which I'll explain. So then it began, I had to think, okay, how can I get back to South Africa but still do my student internship? And by the grace of God, a school who I had contacted but had not heard back from for a while, it was an all-boys high school, emailed me and said, oh, well, we've never done this, but this sounds great. We've never had an American teacher, and we've never had, like, a student intern, so let's try it. And I said, okay. And the education department gave me the thumbs up. So I found that out at the end of November. I left then in time to get to South Africa on New Year's Eve. I was just as excited. So got there New Year's Eve going into 2012 for a four-month-long student internship at this all-boys high school, which was only 35 minutes away from this ministry. So I could still visit on the weekends, which was great. But what this trip really gave me was perspective. I got to see South Africa outside of a ministry role. When you are in something, whether it's ministry or you're just focused on something, you know, it's this. You get this much of a vision, okay? And so living outside of ministry, getting to live in a different town with different neighbors and working with different people, my perspective and my vision was so much broader. And so, again, it was just kind of like that affirmation. The Lord had already given me this call, and then this was the affirmation that this is where I want you. These are the people I want you to be doing life with. And so it was so exciting to have that last kind of final piece of feeling, yes, Lord, this is where you want me. So fast forward, then I graduated and have been working here and am on the support raising process. But why South Africa? What's the purpose of going to South Africa? Why is there a need for ministry in South Africa other than the simple fact of we're all broken and we, you know, need a savior and creator? But South Africa specifically, why Bethesda is there is because there's a huge problem right now in South Africa with HIV/AIDS, as many of you may know. It is the highest population of people who are infected with HIV/AIDS live in South Africa. Over 10% of their population is infected. This is a huge number. And the majority of that number, a majority of those people, are between the ages of like 20 and 30, we'll say 39, 37 and 38, one of those. And that's your prime parent age. Right? Okay, so then what we're seeing as these people are overtaken by their disease and by their sickness, we're seeing a huge number of children losing parents. An orphan is technically defined as a child who has lost one or both parents. So we're seeing this humongous number of orphans in South Africa. When I was there in 2010, the number was only about 2.2 million. We're up to 3 million, and that's a very conservative number. Several reports are more going to tell you about 3.5 to 3.7 million children. To give you some perspective of what this looks like, if you think of a professional sports team, okay, we'll choose football, okay? Think of their stadium. If you wanted every child, every orphan in South Africa to have a seat in that stadium on the chairs designated, not on the field, but an actual seat, you would need somewhere in the 40s stadiums, okay? Think about that for a second. 40, that's like all of the NFL stadiums combined, and you still might not have enough. That is gigantic. That is huge. This is a big problem. Now, can one person change that? Can one organization change it? No, but we saw the need, and so Bethesda 16 years ago was founded in South Africa to at least start addressing the need. Also, what comes out of this is what we call child-run homes. These are households that are run by children who are 18 years old or less. I think across the board, we're seeing it, you know, be more in the younger teens, like 15, 13. These are children who are not only taking care of themselves and meeting their own needs, but a lot of times raising their younger siblings or cousins. One report that I read reported that there were 1,500 registered child home or child-run homes, okay? That's just that we know of. There are probably many, many more that are unregistered. Okay, so we're seeing children raising children, which is never a good thing, okay? A 13-year-old should never be responsible for taking care of four little siblings, let alone taking care of themselves. And so they're kind of forced to take desperate measures to make sure that their needs are met. And finally, this last point is not a problem, but it's a problem. A lot of the organizations that are established and a lot of the aid that is given is for children who are also infected with HIV/AIDS, which is not a bad thing. That's a great thing. And we want to see that continue. We want to see these kids be healthy. Where it is a bad thing is that there aren't a lot of options for healthy children. And one statistic is that about 60 to 70% of the orphans in South Africa are healthy. That means the majority of these kids don't have any option for aid or any place to go. They're just kind of there. And then what happens is they turn to any means necessary, and a lot of times they get sick. So we just see several of these problems lined up. And this is what in the year 2000, well, that's when it was planted. In years prior to the year 2000, a group of missionaries with a missions organization in Indiana were looking at South Africa and saying, what can we do? And so Bethesda Outreach Ministries was then born. You can go ahead to the next one. Bethesda literally means house of mercy. Okay, and its design and its purpose is to come in alongside South African churches in caring for the orphans who are there. Now, one thing about that I forgot to mention in the first service, like I said, I remember all these things afterwards. One thing that's unique about Bethesda is that we want to reach kids who have been affected, not necessarily infected with HIV/AIDS. Does that mean that we're going to turn away a kid because they're sick? Absolutely not. But we want to make sure that we don't have a limitation that says we are only here for children who are sick. We want to make sure that if there's a child in need and we have a space and the South African court system says, oh, we can give them to you, we will take them with open arms. So we're coming alongside the South African church to care for these children, to bring them into this home, and give them the opportunity to become followers of Christ and to bring them in and disciple them as they grow up. If you want to go to the next one. One thing that's very unique about Bethesda, which is one of the things I most love about it, is that instead of placing all the kids who are entrusted into our care in one home or two homes and just have, you know, massive amount of kids running around with maybe one or two house parents to watch over them, rather, any kid who comes into our care is then placed into a small family. This is a South African couple who are Christians who have said, I am answering the call that I think the Lord has given to me. I want to be, or we want to be house parents. And that could mean having anywhere from two children to, usually our biggest home is going to be around 10. It's a lot of kids, as I'm sure many of you parents are probably going, wow, that's a lot. But it is a lot of kids, but it's much more manageable than having 25 or 50 or, you know. So it's one really cool thing is that we get these smaller little family units. Secondly, it gives the kids a second chance at family. They have this couple who love them incredibly. One thing that's really neat, all of our house parents that we have right now have biological children. And it's really cool to see them interact with their biological children and the kids who have been placed in their care and you can't really tell which is which. These parents love their kids, whether they're blood related or not. And so, you know, we just are so thankful for the parents that we have. So it gives these kids a second chance at family. Almost all of our kids call their house parents mom or dad, not because they're expected to, but because they want to. And so we're seeing these relationships build, and we're just so excited about that. And then, of course, it just gives more of an opportunity for these parents to disciple their children in knowing who their identity is in Christ. They can come alongside and give a little bit more one-on-one attention. We really believe in quality over quantity. Bethesda right now cannot house all 3 million children. Do we wish we could? Absolutely. However, we really want to make sure that the quality of our children's lives is good, that their physical needs are being met. More importantly, that their spiritual needs are being met and that their emotional needs are being met. And when you have a ton of children that you can't really accommodate, that doesn't always happen. So even though Bethesda only has about 50 or so children on the property right now, those kids are being cared for in all of the areas of their lives. One of the areas is, if you go to the next one, is education. We want our kids to have a great education. We want them to become good leaders. We want them to be good citizens. And so on our property, which houses most of our families, but we also have a kindergarten through seventh grade school called Jabulani Christian Academy. Now, if you'll notice, that number says, thank you for changing that. Oh, great. I had the number of students wrong the first service. It was lower. Oops. Okay, so we have 150 students at our school. Now, if you're doing math, that doesn't really add up with how many kids we have at Bethesda with how many kids we have in the school. That's because JCA is it's kind of like a sub-ministry. We have to open our doors to people in the community. So parents who want their children in the community, who want their children to have a good, solid education, can send them to JCA. So that number, the 150 students, only about 30 of those students are our Bethesda kids. And then the other 120 are kids from the community, which is amazing. What an opportunity we have, not only for the 50 kids that we have living on our property, but we now have 120 kids who are coming to us 5 days a week, January through December, year-round school. It's a good thing. All right? January through December, and we have access to them, their younger siblings who are coming up into the school system, and their families. What an amazing position to be in. I told this story in the first, where are we? Service. I wanted to say sermon. I knew that was wrong. Ay, ay, ay. Tell this in the first service. We had a young girl when I was there in 2011 who had recently accepted Christ by the time I got there. And it was so exciting. She was in that really fun stage of just being so excited about Christ. You know that stage? Oh, so great. I wish that would last more and more and more. Anyway, but she was very unique in her family situation in that she came from a long line of witch doctors, very prominent in the community witch doctors. Her grandmother and her mother especially were very well known. Now, at JCA, we have the word Christian right built into our name. We do not hide the fact that we teach from a Christian worldview and a Christian curriculum from anybody who comes to our school. It's never our intention like, oh, we just want more students, so let's just push this under the rug. We're very, very outward that we are a Christian academy, that we believe in the Creator God. And so it was really cool, first of all, that this family sent their daughter to us. It was a little funny, actually, like, okay, all right, cool. So that was victory, I call it victory number one. Victory number two, the triumphant victory where she accepted Christ as her own. But then, victory number three, we saw her praying for her family. And as many of you know, the power of prayer is incredible. Now, how much would I love to say, and the whole family, no, okay. That would be amazing, and it could be true. I don't know. I haven't kept up with this girl. But one thing that is just so exciting is to see through this connection to the school, she not only embraced Jesus as her Savior, but then she was the light going out into the dark place. And that's Isn't that what discipleship is? Isn't that what we want to do? And so that's just one story. We have many others like that, but I just don't have 10 hours. Okay, a couple of fun things about our school. We have 10 school staff members. When we first started the school, it was primarily American teachers. And that was just how it was because it was a new ministry getting off the ground. Now we only have about 3 American teachers, and the other 7 are South African. We have a guy from Botswana. And so we're getting to see this really nice, well-rounded education with teachers who understand the culture more fully than Americans can. And then, like I said, it's a community ministry. It's a way that we can reach out into the community and be involved and live life with them. So my role, once I get to South Africa, which again, I forgot to mention in the first service of when I'm going, it's a small detail, I am praying that the Lord will provide a means for me to be there by July. And this gives me a couple of opportunities. If I'm there in July, you can go ahead to the next one. If I'm there in July, like I said, their school year runs from January to December. So July falls smack dab in the middle of that, and I'm going to be working at JCA. It gives me 5 months of learning the culture a little bit and getting my curriculum started, because what I'm doing at JCA is I will be building from the ground up a music curriculum for the students, for kindergarten through 7th grade. Music is a huge part of South African culture. It's very much embedded into who they are. And so a lot of people think, well, then why do they need to go to class for it? Because you still have to learn things. And many, many, many schools in South Africa, good schools, have a good music program. And it's not only teaching South African cultural music and how it's shaped their communities, but it's also focusing on Western music, what we all call classical music, okay, or other world music from all over the place. So this is what I'm going to be doing with these kiddos, is building this curriculum. So if I get there by July, that gives me 5 months of building the curriculum in country where I have the resources that I will have, and then I can start teaching full-time in January. I'll still be teaching in the school as kind of like a sub/teacher's aide to the other teachers if they need me. So that will be my main vocation. Secondly there, anybody who's involved with a ministry like this is really encouraged to dig deeper with our kids. Like I said, we want to give our kids the opportunity to be Christ followers. We want them to know who they are, who their identity is in. We would never force our beliefs on them, of course, but we want to give them every possible opportunity, and we want to disciple them as they choose Christ, as they seek Christ, as they just try to figure out what's going on in life. We want to be there alongside of them, discipling them and helping them figure things out, and help them sense the Spirit of the Lord. So one of my other main responsibilities will be discipleship ministry of some kind with the kiddos that I'm working with. And then, of course, involvement with a local South African church. Digging in, planting in, just like I would here, okay? Even, you know, I'm at my home church, but even if I was here and moving to back to Ohio, okay? Digging into the local church, not only so that I can be fed spiritually, but also so that we can be a community of Christ followers together. So that's my role in a nutshell. I found out where the clock is, and so I looked and I realized running out of time. Okay, anyway, so if you go to the next slide. So then this is where we come together as a family of Christ here in the States, how you can be involved. There are a couple of ways there, and I'm going to go through each one. Prayer support. JB already mentioned, I'm looking for a team of 200 prayer supporters, people who will commit on a weekly basis to lift the needs of the ministry up, to lift the needs of South Africa up, and also to lift any needs or praises that I have up to the Lord in serious prayer and petition. This doesn't mean that like you are sacrificing hours of your day, just 10 minutes once a week would be phenomenal. So that's kind of what I'm looking for when I say prayer partner. Now, if that's too much, that's fine. That doesn't mean don't pray. This team of 200, I'm looking specifically for a weekly commitment. So that's the first thing, and it's so, so important. In this process, I've been in the support raising process since June of 2014. I have been astounded by the amounts of times that I complain, and you know, I complain to the Lord. How many of us have done this? Okay, we complain, and then the Lord is so gracious, and he gives us something, and you go, oh, Jesus. And then you complain, and you complain, and you complain, and the Lord gives us something. This was something that I actually recently went through, and if you go to my website, you can read all about it. It's really exciting. Sometimes the Lord just needs to shake you up a little bit, you know? And most of that shaking has come through prayer supporters because I have a team who is praying that I will be faithful and that I will be trusting and that I will constantly be turning back to the Lord. And so when I'm not doing that, sometimes I get shaken. So my prayer support team is incredibly important for multiple reasons, not just for the shaking. Anyway, the second way you can be involved is financial support. On a monthly basis, I will need $3,900 coming in each month. And this is going to cover anything from taxes to healthcare to having gas for my car, for anything I need for the classroom, if I need some books or something like that, and it's not covered by the school, it would come out of that fund. It's what we call ministry expenses. So that's what that portion is. I'm so excited. I forgot to share this in the first service. I'm so, so, so incredibly excited to announce that as of 2 days ago, I'm up to 69% of my overall goal of this $3,900 a month. Praise the Lord. What a great, great thing he has done. Yeah, I think applause is necessary. Yay, Jesus. And while we're doing that, there it is. I have elephants that turn orange when I get a new supporter. So you can see they're starting to fill up. If you'll just jump back really quickly. I really like those guys, though. There you go. Awesome. While we're praising Jesus, look at that that line that has a strike through going through it. When I was here in January for DNOW, this was not struck through yet, which is exciting because it's only been like a month and a little bit. Okay, great. So if you see that, I needed to raise $38,000, which for someone who had to first pay off school debts and then who is a music teacher, that's a lot of money and a little overwhelming. I remember when it was first given to me, I was like, I'm never going to South Africa. But that was one of those moments where, you know, shaking was necessary. But look what the Lord has done. A few weeks ago, I hit that 100% raised. $38,000 is in my account, ready for visa purchasing, ready for plane ticket purchasing, ready to buy a car once I get into South Africa. Cars are extremely expensive over there. So this was a very important part of ministry and something I was completely overwhelmed by. But God is so good. And through your church, actually, you guys were a big part of this. Through your church, through other churches and individuals and businesses, that amount has been raised. So we're just praising the Lord for that. There are three types of financial supporters: monthly supporters, annual, or one-time gifts. If you want me to go into more detail about that, you can come up and chat with me. My flag is like flying half-mast over here. Okay. Anyway, what I was going to say, I have cards like this or a brown card with the same thing printed on it. If you would like to be a financial partner or a prayer partner with me, I have these cards. I also have something that you can just write your name and your email address so that I know that you're praying, so that I can contact you when I have a praise to be excited about and I want you to be excited with me, or if I have a prayer request that I really need help bringing this to the Lord. One thing that I said or that I really love about the body of Christ is that we do things together. This is not my ministry. This is the Lord's ministry. And yes, he's calling me to be physically there. But there's no possible way that I could physically be there without the rest of the body of Christ working together. I was just at a Run Collective concert the other night, and their album title and their tour title right now is As Family We Go. And isn't that the most beautiful thing to think about? We're traveling together. Victories are victories together. Heartbreaks are heartbreaks together. We experience things at different levels because of where we're positioned on the earth. But overall, the glory of the Lord is still to be celebrated by all of us together. So that's really exciting for me. And I want to encourage you, whether or not you can be a financial partner, be a partner through prayer. It's amazing the relationships and the connection that you get with something and with a ministry when you are physically investing through prayer. Another way that you can be involved is just to stay in touch. A little email that says, hey, how's it going? This is what's great in my life. What's great in yours? I love relationships. I love talking to people. So those type of things are always so, so encouraging. And more times than not, I've gotten an email or a Facebook message, something like that, along those lines when I'm at a very discouraging time of support raising, because it is a long process. And it's just the Lord just saying, hey, send her an email, and then, oh, what an amazing way to just testify to the Lord. Sorry, got lost there. Anyway, if you go to the next one, oh, yep, there they are again. I just want to really fast introduce you, okay, yeah, really fast introduce you to our families. This is the Mount Jenny family. This is our oldest family, not age-wise, but in the time they've been at Bethesda. The parents have been at Bethesda since the beginning. They're one of our first families. They're a smaller family because they live off property. They live in a different town because Maruti Mount Jenny, Pastor Mount Jenny, has a church in a different town, and they've started their own ministry with orphans. So we're starting to see that vision going forward. So this is the Mount Jenny family. You go to the next one. I won't introduce you to each one. The Pajos. The Pajos and the next family that I'm going to introduce to you, the Shikombanis, they were two families that we were kind of going like this with when their kids started getting older to the graduation point, and we were going, what's going to happen when their kids graduate? Will they stay, or will they start just letting their kids kind of slowly leave the house until they say, we're done? So we're, you know, all on bated breath waiting to find out. So their children, some of their children graduated and left the house, which meant there was openings, and they said, so we have some extra beds, and we, yes. Because the Pajos and the Shikombanis, this next family that I'm going to show you, are phenomenal parents. They are just so incredibly loving, but they're also just wise, wise people, and we like keeping those people because they are just amazing disciple builders. And so those three little guys down there are their newest addition. They're not completely new. They've been at Bethesda maybe for about a year and a half now, but they're still relatively new to the family. So we're really excited about them. And if you go to the next one, the Shikombani family, those guys in the front there, actually can't see, there we go, those three guys, they're the newest addition to the Shikombani family. And so, same thing. We were waiting and waiting and waiting, and when they said that they would take more kids, we had a little party. If you go to the next one, then the next family, this is the Masiza family. They are loud and crazy. Actually, all of our families are loud and crazy. But they've got a bunch of kids, so that's to be expected. The Masiza family, if you go to the next one, we have the Letswalo family. This is one of our younger families, just because their kids are younger. If you go to the next one, we have the Sitoles, and then they're our youngest family. They've got babies. And then if you go to the next one, this is the Piri family. I haven't met the Piri family yet because they got there after I left. And so I'm really excited to meet them. Now, this picture is pretty deceiving of them because, as you see, they have three children. Not so much. About a month after this photo was taken, they got a sibling group of five kids. So they now have eight kids in their house, but we just don't have an updated family picture. But I love this picture because it just looks so nice and sweet. I'm like, they're living in chaos right now. But from everything I've heard, the Piris are amazing parents, and I'm really excited to get to dig in and start doing life with them. And then go to the next one. I don't have time to tell you this, but I'm still going to show you his face because he's adorable. This is Tabiso. Now, this picture was taken a few years ago. The one on the left, the one on the right is current. Tabiso taught me a very interesting lesson in discipline and parents. I applaud you. I applaud you in keeping your cool when it has to happen. But anyway, maybe keeping your cool after the fact. He was just his. I had a situation with him that was just a true lesson of Hebrews 12:11 and of learning how to be gracious, and also that discipline hurts you as much as it does the person who's being disciplined. Finally, this last couple of pictures are of my recorder class. Word to the wise: never teach a recorder class where you have more than zero recorders. Never teach a recorder class in a small classroom with concrete floors. The sound is piercing. I was going to bring you a video, but I didn't because it was horrible. No, they actually played really, really well. It's just very, very loud. So these are my recorder kids, and we just had a blast and a half learning how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. Some ways that you can stay in touch. I have a website. It's really easy to remember. It's The Gabby Missionary. Because I talk so much, .com. That's where you'll find any blog posts or updates or anything like that. By becoming a prayer or financial partner, I will be sending out semi-regular updates, especially my prayer supporters. I try to at least once a month just kind of send an update of what's going on. Or if you just want a generic email update, I will be happy to send you just kind of things as they come up. As I close, and I know I've kept you a couple minutes later, I'm so sorry. As I close, regardless of whether or not you want to be involved with Bethesda or whether or not you want to be involved with ministry in South Africa, I just want to really encourage us, church, because we are church. I know I don't attend here on a regular basis, but we're church, right? We're the body of Christ. Let's not forget that we've been instructed to bring the glory of the Lord around the world. And you guys are doing such a phenomenal job within your community. But let's not forget our outsides as well. So as we walk life together and as we go out together, let's remember it's for the kingdom building and that we're doing this together. As family we go to bring the glory here to the earth so that He may be glorified. Amen. Amen.